Le Guin's Hypothesis. Rewritten from a blog post on my website and at Book View Cafe, June 14, 2012, this piece was given as a talk at the Sigma Tau Delta Conference in Seattle, March 2013. In a New Yorker article last year about literature and genre, Arthur Crystal called reading genre novels a guilty pleasure. I responded in my blog, saying that the phrase succeeds in being simultaneously self-deprecating, self-congratulatory, and collusive. When I speak of my guilty pleasure, I confess that I know I sin, but I know you sin too. Nudge, nudge, aren't we sinners cute? So, literature is the serious stuff you have to read in college, and genre is what you read for pleasure, which is guilty. But what about the non-guilty pleasure, the true pleasure, that we may get from any novel, whatever its category? The trouble with opposing lit fic to genre fic is that what looks like a reasonable distinction of varieties of fiction hides an unreasoned value judgment, lit superior, genre inferior. This is mere prejudice. We must have a more intelligent discussion of what literature is. Many English departments have largely ceased trying to defend their ivied ivory towers by shooting down every spaceship that approaches. Many critics are aware that a lot of literature is happening outside the sacred groves of modernist realism. But still, the opposition of literature and genre is maintained, and as long as it is, false categorical value judgment will cling to it. To get out of this boring bind, I propose an hypothesis. Literature is the extant body of written art. All novels belong to it. The value judgment concealed in distinguishing one novel as literature and another as genre vanishes with the distinction. The elitist snobbery that conflates the popular with the commercial, the Puritan snobbery, a virtuous higher pleasure and guilty lower pleasure, become irrelevant and very hard to defend. Though no genre is inherently, categorically superior or inferior, genres exist. Forms and types and kinds of fiction exist and need to be understood. The many genres that go to make up the literature of fiction include mystery, science fiction, fantasy, naturalism, realism, magical realism, graphic, erotic, experimental, psychological, social, political, historical, Bildungsroman, romance, western, war, gothic, young adult, horror, thriller. Along with the proliferating cross-species and subgenres such as dysfunctional suburban family semi-factual confessional, noir police procedural, and parallel history with zombies. Some of these categories are descriptive. Some are maintained largely as marketing devices. Some limit invention narrowly. Others encourage it. Some are old, some new, some ephemeral. Each reader will prefer certain genres and be bored or repelled by others. But anybody who claims that one genre is categorically superior to all others must be ready and able to defend their prejudice. And that involves knowing what the inferior genres actually consist of, their nature and their forms of excellence. It involves reading them. If we approached all fictional genres as literature, we'd be done with the time-wasting, ill-natured diatribes and sneers against popular novelists who don't write by the rules of realism, the banning of imaginative writing from MFA courses, the failure of so many English teachers to teach what people actually read, and the endless silly apologizing for actually reading it. If critics and teachers gave up insisting that one kind of literature is the only one worth reading, it would free up more time for them to think about the different things novels do and how they do it, and above all, to consider why certain individual books in every genre are, have been for centuries, and will continue to be more worth reading than most of the others. Because there is the real mystery. Why is one book entertaining, another disappointing, another a revelation and a lasting joy? What is quality? What makes a good book good and a bad book bad? Not its subject, not its genre. What then? That's what good criticism, good book talk, has always been about. We won't be allowed to knock down the fix-fic walls, though, as long as the publishers and booksellers think their business depends on them, capitalizing on the guilty pleasure principle. But then, how long will the publishers and booksellers last against the massive aggression of the enormous corporations that are now taking over every form of publication in absolute indifference to its content and quality so long as they can sell it as a commodity?